From the KPIX 5 newsroom, this is Bay Area Nightbeat on KBCW.
We begin tonight with breaking news. Police investigating a house fire and two people found in the driveway with stab wounds. This is all happening on Alderwood Way in Vacaville. The fire broke out about 6:30 this evening. Right now, police are looking for a suspect. And he is this man, Nathaniel Holland. Police say he is associated with the house that burned and the stabbing victims who are hospitalized in stable condition. Neighbors have been told to shelter in place while police search for this suspect. Good evening. I'm Ken Bastida.
I'm Veronica Dela Cruz. A four-year-old also suffered burns in the fire and has been transported to a burn unit in Sacramento. Her condition is unknown.
Well, we have a crew there now, and we'll bring you more information as we get it.
Now to our other top story tonight, PG&E in financial hot water, planning to file for bankruptcy. The question now is, what does that mean for customers?
This would be one of the biggest bankruptcy filings in U.S. history, as PG&E struggles to cope with the costs of California's massive wildfires. Its stock plunged 52% after the bankruptcy news came out today. Nightbeat's Betty Yu is live outside PG&E headquarters in San Francisco tonight. Betty?
Ken, PG&E put out these barricades before the utility announced that it would be filing for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. It said that the bankruptcy is in the best interest of customers, shareholders, and wildfire victims.
The campfire, the most destructive in state history, killed 86 people, destroyed 14,000 homes and 500 businesses. It is believed that it may have started when a PG&E power line came down on nearby trees, and it's in part why the utility says it now faces $30 billion in liability claims. Fire investigators also found that PG&E was the cause of at least 17 major Northern California fires in 2017.
You know, PG&E opted to jump the gun and to use bankruptcy as a weapon, as a way to resolve these claims. It's most unfortunate and horribly disappointing to the thousands of people who have been impacted.
Attorney Frank Petrie and his firm represent more than 600 victims from the Camp and Wine Country wildfires in lawsuits against the utility.
They will get justice. If I or any of the lawyers who represent these victims have anything to say, they will get justice. But in this case, going through bankruptcy is a delay of justice.
The Chapter 11 process will allow PG&E to pay for damages, shed some of its debt, and stay in business.
It sounds like it's not going to have an immediate impact on bills.
Former CPUC Commissioner Catherine Sandoval says PG&E is in a credit crisis and doesn't have enough money to keep it going for very long. PG&E is planning some alternative financing arrangements, but if it's fined or has to borrow money, experts say that could mean a rate hike.
We need to hear the plan, and we need to hear the plan soon, because what's important is to make sure that we don't end up in the situation where the operation of the utility is compromised.
And this would be the second time in two decades PG&E filed for bankruptcy. Back in 2001, it followed widespread blackouts that led to a negotiated rate hike, which we are still paying for on our PG&E bills today. On the Nightbeat, I'm Betty Yu.
Tonight, California's new governor, Gavin Newsom, says safety, reliability, and affordability are his main concerns moving forward.
PG&E, with respect, has not been a trusted player. In the past, they have admitted knowingly misleading regulators in the past, very recent past. We had a DIG Act that was supported by this legislature. I believe it was SB 661, where they misrepresented their inspections of pipes and they misled the public. That is simply unacceptable. And I can assure you, when it comes to our engagement with PG&E, it's trust. But, dare I say, verify.
The governor also says we are not in an energy crisis and you should not be concerned about your power going out. All this comes as PG&E's CEO is stepping down. Geisha Williams was in charge during the deadly wildfires in 2017 and 2018. Her severance package, $2.5 million, according to the Mercury News.
Meanwhile, San Francisco's city leaders say they see PG&E's bankruptcy as a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. The city is trying to build out its own green power program while still using PG&E equipment to keep everything connected.
Whether it's purchasing of maybe some of their facilities or equipment or what have you, those are things that we want to explore.
And I'm very pleased that my colleagues and the mayor realize this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Well, now it's too early to know exactly how PG&E's bankruptcy could unfold, but supervisors are already discussing possible funding sources for the purchase of the utility's equipment.
A similar situation happened to San Diego Gas and Electric more than a decade ago. SDG&E spent more than $2 billion to resolve lawsuits in connection with a series of deadly wildfires in 2007. Since then, the utility has spent $3 million on wildfire safety, which includes putting power lines underground and replacing wooden power poles with concrete ones. All right, let's take a live look right now over San Francisco. Some parts of the Bay Area are going to see some light showers tonight. Chief Meteorologist Paul Deanna has been tracking that for us. Paul?
Veronica, we've had on and off rain throughout the day. It was on a few hours ago. Now that rain has lifted to the north. Let's get right to the radar and show you the showers that are over North Napa County, North Sonoma County, and also southern Lake County. Hidden Valley Lake, Clear Lake getting some showers just east of Cloverdale, just north of Windsor. 3-hour time lapse shows some snow for the Sierra above 7,000 feet in elevation. A lot of rain offshore down toward Monterey Bay and minimal rainfall around San Francisco. That's going to change over the next 36 hours. Watch a wave of rainfall move through for the morning hours. Some steady rain for a few hours tomorrow afternoon. But then the most significant rainfall and the strongest winds, that's right there. Look at that. Wednesday, 3 o'clock, less than 36 hours from now, we are talking about widespread soaking rains and gusty winds. On a 1 to 10 scale, the rain and wind will be up around a 7. That's about as strong as we've seen so far this winter. And since it will happen during the afternoon commute, that is just going to be an absolute mess. Not tomorrow, but 2 days from now, a strong storm poised to move through. We'll talk about how much rain we can expect just from that one day coming up in a few minutes. Ken?
All right, Paul, thanks for that. On Capitol Hill, this week started the way last week ended, with the government shutdown and no end in sight. Day 24, and here we go. This is already the longest shutdown in U.S. history. Addressing the Farm Bureau Federation in New Orleans today, the president said that it will continue until Democrats cave and fund a border wall.
The Democrats will not fund border security, our safety, our national security. They will not approve the measures we need to keep America safe.
We should open up the government and debate border security, not as hostage, but just debate it and get it done, but not have the government shut down while we're debating it.
Democrats say the government will reopen as soon as the president stops insisting on this $5.7 billion for a wall. Meanwhile, Nightbeat's Joe Vasquez continues our coverage from Oakland International Airport. And Joe, you spoke to a federal employee who is working without pay, and he is not alone, he or she, huh?
Right. In fact, a TSA agent who said that most of his colleagues are coming to work every day, but an increasing number are calling in sick, and he is worried that the situation here could deteriorate.
So far, God bless, nothing has happened. But there's no telling when somebody with ill intention may try something or sneak something on board, and we don't have the personnel to catch it.
TSA agent Lester Harris says he is very concerned about what's been happening in Houston and Miami, where terminals had to shut down because of an unusually high number of TSA agents calling in sick. And in Atlanta, where somebody sneaked a gun onto a plane, but the TSA chief says it's not related to the shutdown.
Everything is slowing down just a little bit.
Harris is a furloughed federal employee who is not getting paid right now, but still is required to work. He says there have been some backlogs and slight delays at the airport because some of his colleagues have been calling in sick. Harris says that's because they have long commutes and childcare, both of which can get expensive when you're not getting a paycheck.
It's getting tough. It's getting real tough.
Harris has six other family members who are furloughed government employees, including both parents.
Usually you would pass around the hat, you know, can you loan me $20? Can you loan me $50? But we're all doing that to each other to get by, and so it's making it really difficult.
He knows he's likely going to get paid eventually. Still, Harris has begun looking for other work just in case the shutdown goes on much longer.
I don't know about everyone, but I can't go but so long. Like, I was able to pay off all my bills this month, but next month, coming up in February, I just don't have it.
About that gun that was found, it was a female passenger who had taken it through the airport in Atlanta. And officials say they think it was not related to the shutdown because it was early on. Well, now we're on day 24. Many more people can have been calling in sick. Now they're at 7.6% of the entire TSA agency has called in sick today, and they think it could get worse.
Yeah, it's not so much, I think, Joe, people calling in sick. It's the jobs that are not being fulfilled. They do more than just, you know, look at your passport and your ID. There's a lot of other things they do, TSA and other federal workers at airports that
That's
are not
right.
getting done.
TSA alone screens you, but they also check luggage and cargo. Then you've got all these other federal agencies, the FAA. I mean, there's a lot of people here working without a paycheck, which most of us would find inconceivable. I will tell you, there's one little silver lining. At least one of the restaurants here is providing free meals for some of these workers, and I expect that that will continue as there's no end in sight.
Well, let's hope it ends soon. Joe Vasquez at Oakland International. Thank you, Joe.
Well, tonight, some flights from the Bay Area to Hawaii are on hold because of the shutdown. Southwest wants to begin offering service this year, but it can't yet because the FAA workers who handle a key certification are furloughed. So now many people thinking of going to Hawaii in the spring and summer are in a wait-and-see mode. So is the airline.
Until they get that certification, they don't know when they'll be able to start flying. And that means that they have to hold off on advertising the routes, taking reservations, selling vacation packages, and more. So it's literally costing Southwest Airlines a lot of money.
The new flights to Hawaii would serve four California cities, Oakland, San Jose, Sacramento, and San Diego. And one more note here tonight, Santa Clara County says it will distribute February's CalFresh benefits tomorrow, a couple of weeks early, to help low-income families affected by the shutdown.